Will you pray with me? Oh, God. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, friends, the Bible didn't start out this way. It ought not to be much of a surprise that something called the New Revised Standard Updated Edition isn't the first version of the Bible that we've ever had. But even the earliest written versions of the Bible, like the Dead Sea Scrolls or the Codex Sinaiticus, they aren't the earliest versions of the stories that we've combined into our sacred texts. The earliest versions were stories. Some sung around fires, some told in marketplaces, some written to the church in Galatia. The Bible, as we have it now, was constructed over time and with intent. And that matters. It matters because we hold it as a sacred text. We give meaning-making power to the Bible in our lives. We look to it to tell us what to do and how to live. It matters because it's where we go to figure out how to love our neighbor, love ourselves, and love our God. So it matters. It matters when I tell you that our scripture today was probably originally two different stories. One about the Magi and the child Jesus. And one about Herod and imperial power. These stories were combined, probably by the author of the Gospel of Matthew, and so it's to our advantage to look at their combination and ask why. Ask what about combining these stories teaches us more about what it means to love our neighbor, love ourselves, and love our God. Let's look. The text as we have it today raises a couple of suspicious questions if you read it expecting it to make sense. The star the Magi follow from Persia to Judea leads them faithfully for 1,300 miles and then takes them to the wrong place. It brings them to Jerusalem and not Bethlehem. Why? And perhaps more importantly, why does King Herod, frightened into action at the news of a child born to take his throne, trust the critical intelligence work of finding that child to total strangers? Those are the kinds of questions that make scholars think that the story that Kat read today was originally two stories. The Magi story was once likely a pretty straightforward story of wise ones following a star to worship a baby born to be king of the Jews. They encounter Jesus, they worship him, give the Holy Family gifts, and return to their homeland. Herod's story, similarly, was perhaps once a relatively straightforward story about power. King Herod, vassal of the Roman Empire, king of Judea, hears of the birth of a rival. One destined to be king of the Jews, he feels threatened and gathers sympathetic priests and scribes to learn that the child was likely born in Bethlehem. He then sends allies, not strangers, to Bethlehem to find the child, likely to kill him and end the threat to his rule. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream to warn him of the approaching danger. The Holy Family flees to Egypt. The search for the child is unsuccessful, and in his rage, Herod orders the death of all children under the age of two. Those are two stories, both alike in dignity, both internally consistent. Why combine them? Why create a story with a semi-faulty star that leads the Magi to the wrong city, and a ruler who, in his fear, recklessly entrusts the fate of his reign to untested strangers? Because weaving the story of the Magi and the child Jesus through the story of Herod and his imperial power teaches us something new about how to love our neighbors, love our God, and love ourselves. We've already heard the intertwined story. Magi, wise ones from a foreign land, follow a star into the Roman Empire, seeking a child born to be a king. A child born to be a king, not a king of war, not a king of Rome, but one like the prophet Micah sang about, a shepherd who will gather the people, feed the flock, and sow security and peace to the ends of the earth. The star leads them to Jerusalem, where they meet a very different kind of king. They meet Herod, a king whose reign depends on violence, extraction, and military might. A king who fears a rival vision for life together so much that he is upended by the news of the birth of a baby. His fear is such that he takes strangers under his wing. He lies about his motives and sends them on a mission to find the baby who threatens his rule. The Magi align with the powers of the day, take on the task, and follow the star again, this time to Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, they encounter God. God, a child with his mother. The scripture says they are overwhelmed with joy. They fall prostrate before the child Jesus and worship him. Their eyes are opened, their strength transforms, their senses clear in the presence of the true king, the one promised by the prophets. Overwhelmed with joy, the Magi are freed from Herod's deceit. In the face of the true king, in the face of God with us, the Magi embrace the good news of God alive in the world, share their resources generously, abandon Herod's imperial mission, and return to their country by another road. What does that story tell us about loving God? It tells us that if, like the Magi, we seek to follow Jesus, that journey of faith will lead us directly into the path of empire. Loving God, living a faithful life, following the star means we will encounter Herod. Herod is everywhere. We will be invited to participate in systems of power that depend on violence, extraction, and military might. Systems that fear rival visions of life together so much that they would order violence against those they make vulnerable. Friends, that's the harder part of the good news. Loving God when God is God with us means loving God in this world with all of its powers and principalities and threats therein. The easier part of the good news is that if you seek God, you will encounter God, and you will be overwhelmed with joy. Overwhelmed with the great joy of God's love, the love that brings the Magi to their knees in worship, the love that casts vision that makes it possible for us to love ourselves. Just as the Magi are not cogs in Herod's imperial machinations, we are not resources to be used and discarded by an empire built on securing its own power. We are people, beloved people made in the image of God, who is God with us, members of the flock of the Good Shepherd, people with a calling to sow peace to the ends of the earth. What does the story teach us about love of neighbor? We learn this. Love of God and love of self makes a way clear to love of neighbor, to generosity and to courage, even in the midst of empire. The Magi act with generosity. They share their resources with the Holy Family, opening their treasure, offering gold, frankincense, and myrrh, costly gifts that perhaps fund the family's flight to Egypt. They act with courage for the sake of their neighbors, abandoning Herod's schemes, rejecting the protection of empire, returning home by another route. These acts of love of neighbor make a way for the Holy Family to live. Beloveds, we live in times when imperial rule seeks to sow violence, extraction, and military might everywhere it goes. So did the Holy Family. So did the Magi. Remember their story, if only this. The Magi sought Christ. They met God. They were overwhelmed with the truth of a vision for another world, a world and vision that manifests in part of love of self, that vision that led them to act with courage and generosity for the sake of loving their neighbor, despite the risk of defying empire. May God grant that we might have the courage to go and do likewise. Amen.